Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
My next guests this morning are both farmers. What do they have in common with talk show host Oprah Winfrey and rapper Jay-Z? It would seem a newfound interest in oat milk is what they have in common with Oprah Winfrey and rapper Jay-Z. Most of both of those celebrities have invested in oat-based alternative dairy products. Columnist with the Irish Independent and presenter of Ear to the Ground, Dara McCullough, a man who seems to be absolutely intent on practicing every form of farming known to man, says that 6 months ago he was scoffing at the notion that alternative milk should ever be seriously considered as a viable alternative for Irish farmers. But following a chat with Offaly farmer Liam Lynham, who's also on the line, he had something of an epiphany. Yeah, you're both very welcome to the programme. Liam, you in particular, thank you very much for joining us. Tell us, what is it that you are farming?
Good morning, Philip. Thanks very much for having me on. We're a mixed farming enterprise, tillage, cattle and sheep. And I suppose we've moved away from intensive farming and a little bit more into tillage. And I suppose in the last few years, we're looking at kind of options, farm-to-fork options in terms of low-input sustainable crops. And we looked at hemp and other products. And I suppose we finalised on oats because I suppose we've been growing it for generations ourselves and it's been grown in Ireland, I suppose, before the mighty spode, and it just suits our climate. So that's where the story began and the market research began. And then Own City was born and Oat in the City was launched in May of this year.
Yeah, what is Oat in the City now? Because the problem, the dilemma for most tillage farmers is, indeed for most farmers of any kind, that they end up being price takers unless they innovate in the way that you are and get to try and set their own price for their product. So what have you done?
Well, I suppose we have a background as well in sales and marketing. So the first thing we did was, is there a market out there and what way is it growing? And it just the growth rate has been phenomenal. I think in the UK, the oat drink market doubled from 50 million sterling to 100 million just in the last 12 months. And just European-wise and worldwide, it's growing. So that was the first kind of a sit-up moment and say, this is what we can do. The second one was, I didn't have to kind of reinvent the wheel in terms of, like, we grow oats, it's natural to Ireland, and it just goes there. It's simple. So the big thing was getting out onto the market, and I suppose we're on the Super Value Food Academy, and we're on the Grow with Aldi programme, and we've been very, very receptive from retailers and from consumers, so it's been fantastic so far.
And how big an investment was it for you to go from not just growing your own oats, but to manufacturing, packaging, labelling, distributing your milk?
Well, look, we've kept it. We've tried to, at this point in time, we've outsourced as much as possible because it's a huge, huge risk, and you don't want to risk your farm I've inherited and passed down from the generations and throw it all away on a fad. So, look, as much as possible, we've outsourced as much as possible, and that's got us this far. And at this point, we need to make a big decision on expansion. So, we're looking at repurposing an old dairy and possibly kind of doing our own manufacturing in-site, in-house. And we're also speaking to some contract manufacturers and outsourcing that and maybe focusing on sales and product development and getting the story out there and let Owen the Oat spread his wild oaty goodness.
Dara, why were you so dismissive of these dairy milk alternatives?
I suppose, look, I'm involved in the dairy business here at home in partnership with our neighbours. We're milking cows. I grew up milking cows. And the notion that any squashed soya or oat could claim, when it's mixed up with a bit of water, could claim that it was an equivalent to the wonderful product that is cow's milk, always seemed that it's slightly offensive to the cow, you know, and the wonderful product that is milk. But I suppose
they don't have the same kind of feelings that you do, Dara.
I mean, we, yeah, and I've also been on the same journey, I suppose, as the rest of the Irish agri sector, in that we're gradually realising that if you can't beat them, join them. As in, you know, you walk into a supermarket today, the chilled aisles and the chilled shelves are not dominated by cow's milk anymore. You've got a whole range of stuff there: soya, coconut, rice, almond. And actually, if you look down through the list of those things, you'd be thinking, actually, oats is probably the only one Irish farmers have a good chance of taking a slice of the action. And I think it's really interesting, you know, in the last year or so, we've seen big Irish agribusiness suddenly get into gear on alternatives to what have been the traditional staples of Irish agriculture. So look at, you know, Larry Goodman's ABP company has started moving big time into meat-free alternatives. And I think you're going to see some of the Irish co-ops out there, and particularly I've got Glanbia in mind, who are on the brink of launching their own oat drink. Because, of course, they have all the facilities. They have the farmers and the growers. They're already one of the biggest intake merchants for Irish grain.
But surely if you end up doing business with them, you just end up becoming a price taker again, no?
Well, you do to an extent, but it's also about this whole business of trying to move up the value chain. So rather than just growing oats and lashing them into horse feed, which of course I know you'd be very fond of, Philip, higher value. It commands a higher price in the market if you can channel it towards humans. And the traditional outlets for human oats has been into things like porridge, but you can add more value to it if you're able to turn it into a sexy oat drink that Oprah and all the rest of them are waxing lyrical about.
Liam, the reason that an awful lot of people are opting now for almond milk or oat milk or rice milk are environmental. There's a number of other different reasons, but I would suspect that that's probably the single biggest reason, and only becoming bigger the more deeply mired we get into the climate crisis. But just because it's milk that's not coming from a dairy cow doesn't mean that it doesn't have an environmental impact. How do they compare?
Well, look, I suppose the one thing, I suppose, oats, when you compare them, oats is the one that comes up on top. But I suppose one thing I want to be very clear on is, and there's a lot of kind of talk about more sustainable, like sourcing globally sourced oats and transporting them through the Suez Canal is not environmentally sustainable. And almond has been proven already in terms of, one, is there actually that much almonds in it? And transporting across the globe, in my mind, is not a sustainable option. And a lot of research has been carried out in terms of sustainability, whether it's dairy milk or oat milk or any other milk. If it's locally sourced, that's the first part of being environmentally and sustainable. And the next one is, it uses less water than most other products. It naturally grows in our climate, so it doesn't need a whole lot of hard work. And I think that's the key, is local, sustainable. And you have to move with consumer trends, and that includes farmers in terms of that traditional oat porridge. You're now moving it on a little bit further, and you're making it into a drinkable, portable product. And I think the next stage on again will be, it'll be similar to the dairy market. You'll have flavoured drinks, you'll have grab-and-go ones, you'll have oat powders aimed at gym goers, and it'll just be another alternative, another option.
Okay. Dara, have you done the compare and contrast exercise when it comes to environmental impact?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Chagas figures would suggest that the carbon emissions with a litre of Irish milk is about 1.2 kilos. And just before I came on air with you, I looked up the equivalent figure for oats or for oat drinks, and it's about 0.9 kilos. So I suppose Irish milk is...
And this is crucially for oats that would be grown in Ireland, not ones, as Liam says, that have been imported from the Ukraine or wherever.
Yeah, I actually, the figure wasn't specific to Irish oat drinks, so it was just a figure for oat drinks in general. So I don't know if it could be even less if it was Irish oat drinks consumed in Ireland. But I think, you know, the big picture here is, Philip, any agri-business or any agricultural activity on Irish farms, for it to be a real success and make a real impression rather than just being a kind of a niche thing that a handful of operators are able to make a living out of, we need to look beyond the Irish borders. It needs to be a product that we can export to other markets. So, I think when you're going to see the likes of Glanbia and move into this, they are going to be using their global channels to ship this product into America or into Asia. So, but the fact is,
but
that
then, is that not as bad at the end of the day as us importing almond milk from California or from water stressed southern Mediterranean Europe?
Well, oats don't stress water supplies because they tend to grow in places like Ireland, and even Scandinavians are big oat producers, and the biggest oat company or oat milk company in the world is a Swedish-based company, Oatly even. So I think it would be fair to say that oats would have less impact and less stress the local environment, less than the likes of almonds, which we know grow only in hot, arid areas where water supply is at a premium, and they are huge users of water. And if you look at coconut milk is another popular alternative out there. But, you know, coconuts have a big impact in the regions that they're being grown as well. So, yes, of course.
In the clearing of land to grow them is what you mean. That it's ended up in the, excuse me, the destruction of an awful lot of pristine or virgin rainforest.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Liam, I'm afraid we have to get to the point now of taste and the consumer resistance that you are going to have to deal with or experience here. That's already coming in on the text line is really rather vigorous. I will just read the shortest, the most brief of all of those texts, and it is this simple. It's not milk.
Well, I suppose, Philip, the simplest one is we're not calling it milk. We're calling it an oat drink. And I think the thing has moved on so far that there's been a lot of marketing on kind of comparing dairy milk to oat milks. It's an oat drink. It stands on its own. People have different alternatives. And my thing would be it's not whether it's dairy milk or oat milk. It's what's in that oat drink. So you take a lot of the oat drinks out there are made from syrup. They've stripped away all the good stuff. So the beta glutens are gone, the fiber's gone, the protein's gone, and all you've got is an oat sugar. And if you compare some of the oat drinks out there, they contain they're natural sugars, but they contain more sugar per 100 grams than a bottle of Fanta Orange.
The problem is, though, isn't it, because I know that the National Dairy Council have responded to this attack on their product, as they would see it, by saying, the problem comes when you start treating them as like for like, or substituting dairy milk with oat milk and thinking that you're getting the same thing from them nutritionally, because you're not. There's an awful lot more that's bioavailable in cow's milk than is available in oat milk or almond milk or rice milk. Fair?
Exactly. There's products out there that will fortify that product and whatever else. But I think that
was their point, Liam, that even when you add in vitamin D or B12 or whatever it is to these dairy milk substitutes, that those nutrients are not bioavailable. They're not absorbed by the human body in the same way that they are when they come in cow's milk. Dara, is that what you heard?
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point, Philip. But equally, I would think that, you know, the majority of use of oat milk is, you know, if you're putting it into your tea or your coffee, people aren't reliant on the milk or whatever liquid they choose to add to their milk or coffee for their nutritional requirements. So, you know, I don't think we need to get too hung up on the fact that it is nutritionally less dense. It is it has a smaller carbon footprint. It is an alternative product, and you know, people want alternatives. We're not going to hold the tide back on that.
All right, gentlemen, thank you both very much for that. That was very interesting. Dara McCullough and Liam Lynan, a full-time farmer and founder of Oats and the City. A couple of texts before we go. Why can't the government refurbish the derelict shops and businesses in towns all over the country and bring some life back to so many main streets? Please stop making old people, and that often used phrase, bed blockers, out to be the problem. The government seems intent on playing Tetris with the population rather than giving people real choices. That's really quite a good image, isn't it? And the director, Sean Brannock, has been in touch on Twitter at Today with Claire, following from our chat about horror films earlier on. His independent film, Beyond the Woods, has just been released in Ireland for streaming on Amazon Prime. That's all that we have time for today. The programme was produced by Alistair McConnell, research Neil Lyons, broadcast coordinator Geraldine Collins, and on sound Jamie Doyle.